Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everybody. It is such a pleasure to have you along, especially if you listen on a regular weekly basis. And boy, do I have a nice story to tell about that coming up in just a moment. Anywho, for those listening for the first time, this is about Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. Greater Sioux Falls, South Dakota metro area is what we refer to as the Sioux Empire, but we extend it quite often when it fits our needs to talk about arts and entertainment. And today, we've got a couple of great conversations for you. Local Lou from the Local Lou podcast talking about, you know, those markers that you see, the historical markers? That's what she loves talking about, and she does it in a fun and very entertaining way. And then speaking of fun, man, this guy can play a piano like you can't believe, and he's been filling in with Dual Purpose and our good friend Mike Sorensen. But then he also has his own dueling piano gig that he does from time to time. Tim Dietz will be joining us later on in the show. Now, weekly listeners, you know there's something I like to do to start off the beginning of the weekend, even though it's only Thursday. Now it has, as my good friend Gary Ray in Pueblo Co. calls this, ear candy. Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner, it's here!
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty. We can't wait for Friday, so a day early, we start the party. It up, whatever you may be drinking. Of course, that's going to depend upon what time of the day you're listening to the show, isn't it? Well, you know, as I'm putting it together, it's the cocktail hour, and thanks goes out to Local Lou, who's going to be on our show coming up in a bit, for providing me with my Jasper Newton. Yes, for those of you that know, that is Jack Daniel's Diet Coke in a lime, and you can see a picture of it on Instagram at the Dave Holly Hour. If you follow, you've already seen it. Also, you can see it on Facebook, because the Instagram stuff goes to my Facebook for the Dave Holly Hour as well. So thanks again, Local Lou. Here's to you. And something else we also do on a weekly basis, we give out a nice little shout-out that we call
Honorable Mention.
And this week, many of you know that Miss Carries and I have worked in, you know, hospitality. We've worked in customer service and so forth in the past. So we're very big on good customer service. Well, last weekend, as the big storm's arriving, we go out to a big box store because there were just a couple of things that we needed. And our bill came to X amount. And I look at this kid that was doing, and not a kid, though, you know, young adult, I would say probably early to mid-20s. And I say, hey, we only budgeted two for that. You know, you're going to have to take something off. And he looks at me. Finally, Miss Carrie says, he's joking with you. Yeah, no sense of humor. But then we go to Nyberg's Ace. God bless local places, right? And we need a new shovel to get rid of all the snow that was coming. So Carrie decides to pick out a really good one this time. Yeah, steel blade and the whole works. And so we take that through. And my wife loves to name everything. You know, every one of our vehicles had a name. Well, the shovel had to have a name too. And she says this out loud. And right away, the clerk, in his, you know, middle ages, early middle ages probably, more along our ilk, says, that's Steve. Steve the Shovel. And I said, well, yeah, and he's also Steele. And he says, well, that's his middle name. So, clerk at Nyberg's Ace on 41st in Minnesota, thanks for having a sense of humor and making our day and giving us reason to enjoy an honorable mention. You rock. All right, later on in the show, Tim Dietz, he's going to tell us about playing piano and a few other instruments that he's done in the past as well, and some big names he's performed with. Also, coming up next, Local Lou on the Dave Holly Hour.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
Learn more about the unpaid staff at DaveHollyHour.com.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour, everybody. It is a pleasure to have this young lady on the program because she's a fellow podcaster. And also, we have another thing in common. She's also been a guest on Backlot 605. Local Lou. Lou, how are you?
I'm amazing. Thank you.
Excellent. You're quite welcome. Glad to have you on the show because you are, first of all, a fan that actually truly listens.
I do.
You show up to an interview with a small bottle of Jack Daniels, a small lime, and a bottle of Diet Coke.
I'm not messing around.
No, yeah. You are not. You hit it right on the head. God bless you for that. I love it. Let's talk about Local Lou Podcast because it is a unique podcast. You're not the only person that does history in the area. The God Potter of podcasting in the Sioux Empire, Robert Mayling, is a big history buff. But you do something a little different than he does. And what's unique about yours is you're basically, you know, just kind of traipsing around the area. You find one of those brown markers with gold lettering on it that's a historical marker. You read it, you take pictures of it, and then you follow it up.
I do, yeah. It's kind of a fun little hobby. I definitely consider myself an amateur, but I have fun doing it.
That's all it has to be, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so how many episodes are you now?
I think I have 8. I'm not the most organized. I'm kind of a free spirit, So that part I will get better at.
Well, certainly. It happens. It comes along. It's a good thing regardless because it's great to get information out there. But what made you decide to go? I mean, this is a niche in this one for sure. What made you go with that?
I love going to local parks, and a lot of our local parks have these historical markers. They kind of caught my eye. I even lived across the street from one for a couple years and didn't read it.
Yeah.
You know. And then one day I read it, and I was like, oh, I love Jesse James, and I lived right next to a historical marker about Jesse James, and I hadn't read it. And it kind of got me thinking about, I bet people kind of have become blind to these.
Right.
And so it's great to kind of get out there and look into them and just the little pieces that I think are interesting.
I think one of the things I'm amazed by is how many are actually in the city
of
Sioux Falls.
There are a ton. There are so many, even just outside of where we're at right now.
It's true.
We're surrounded by historical markers.
And we're here down at our usual spot, a nice little haunt we have in the lobby between Agua Fresh and Woodgrain Brewery and also Frontier Bank over here. So it's a nice place to record, and it's a fun place to get to know other people. And it's been so great to see you doing a podcast. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that's been very common in my podcast as we talk to people in the arts and entertainment community is that there's such great collaboration and everybody's rooting for each other. And I think that's with the local podcast that we have, I feel very much the same way about that.
Oh, absolutely. When I first got into doing this podcast, I had made some history friends online through Instagram pretty quickly. But then I kind of shifted my focus to local podcasts in our area of South Dakota in general, but specifically Sioux Falls, and I found some really cool ones. And then I was just lucky that Backlot 605 took a listen to my podcast. They thought I was interesting. And then somehow, I don't know if it was Brian or Casey, but one of them started a trend, which was, let's have Lou on the podcast. And then from there, I went on Fat Dude Digs Flicks, and now I'm here on Dave Valley.
And you're on yet another one now.
Yes.
Absolutely. Tell us about that.
Oh, I am on this movie's history. I love how you led me to the door and I'm still like, oh, what podcast? That sounds exciting. No, actually, Corey Nels Jacobson and I just started hosting or co-hosting This Movie's History, which is kind of another really fun, just something fun to do.
All right. So what have you, we're going to come back to local Lou stuff, but let's do the movies while we're thinking
Absolutely.
Of it. So Backlot 605, you did one of my favorite movies, Tombstone.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, that is because I was on with them talking about Patriot last summer. But you've been on to talk about Tombstone, and of course, you know, they led right off with it, you know. I'm your Huckleberry.
It's my favorite. I have a sticker that says that. It's just, there are so many good lines in that movie, and almost all of them are Val Kilmer. Yeah. It's hard to ignore what a great Doc Holliday he was. That movie, without Val Kilmer, I don't think anybody would remember it.
So what do you look at when you do a, talk about a movie such as that from a historical standpoint then? Are you looking at it like, here's what they hit, here's what they missed? Or taking it in as the movie itself?
I probably should look at it, at what they hit and miss, but I kind of see if they get the general idea, and if so, I'm good with it.
Okay.
Most stories, if I retell your story, I'm gonna zhuzh it up the way I want to. And so I'm totally fine if they do that. Now, Tombstone, they took a lot of liberties, but I don't think it's out there to be a historical movie. I think that they tried in the places that are cool to try. Like, they had really awesome costumes. The town was great. And the gunfight itself was accurate.
Really?
So, that's good enough.
All right. And so now with your new gig in talking about the actual history of movies,
right,
you doing that more so on historical movies, or are you getting into the history of a movie itself?
We are kind of figuring that part out still. This is just a fun little hobby. I like watching movies, and why not do something with that? So I kind of start off the podcast with what was going on in the world or that time period that the movie was released.
Okay.
So if a movie came out in 1998, we're going to talk about things that were happening in 1998. How much was a gallon of gas? How much was a stamp? Who was president? What's a big news story? And then in the middle of the podcast, we kind of talk a little bit about different things, either the history of the movie, i.e. what some of the actors have to say about when they were making the movie, or sometimes there's historical things, but so far, not really. We did movies like Roadhouse and Who's That Girl? And, you know, not a ton of history there, not a ton, but you can squeeze out some history here and there.
Okay, and so let's go back to local Lou and going through all these roadside, most of them are roadside, but you know, they are in parks and other places as well. What's been the most interesting one you found that you said, whoa?
Well, we're really close to a really interesting one, which is The Hanging of an Innocent Man, which was one of the earlier episodes of Local Lou. And it talks about this man who didn't kill his wife but was hung for killing his wife. And that's right outside the old Courthouse Museum, just a couple blocks from here. I think that's a really fascinating story for anybody in town to come and look at and kind of think about. But they're kind of everywhere, and kind of the most recent ones are usually my favorite. I just found one. I try not to look up where they're actually at, and I kind of try to find them in a more natural way, but you know, sometimes I look them up. So so this one, I looked up the foster children tragedy, which was these kids that got lost in a blizzard and they died. It's not a happy story.
Right.
A lot of history isn't happy, but this one's kind of far, really kind of far outside of Sioux Falls itself, but it's on the edge of town, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, this little cemetery, and I kind of love that one. It's kind of my favorite right now.
How many are there in the state?
Well, in the state, I think it's 700.
Okay.
I think it's 780 or so.
Well, look, you got a few podcasts to go, don't you?
I think I have, you know, a couple new episodes coming up. So,
do you have anything in mind right now?
Yes, there's a big project that I'm working on, and I'm actually working on it with another podcast called Hashtag History. Mm-hmm. And we're going to kind of cover the Dakota War of 1862. And while it didn't take place here, we have a lot of little pieces of that puzzle from the war that did. The Amadon murders were connected to the war. So I also think it's kind of an interesting history thing for the fact that I've brought it up to coworkers, family members, and a couple friends, and everyone's like, what are you talking about? What is the Dakota War of 1862? Everyone knows about what was going on in the world at that time was our Civil War, but mm-hmm. there was also an uprising, a conflict, a war with the Dakota people. And so that's a 6-week conflict that was absolutely tragic, and the story is crazy, and I don't think enough people know about it.
I had never heard of it until you just mentioned it. Yay!
Yes!
Yeah, so there's something to entice me. You've got me teased.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's going to be coming out next month. There's going to be a couple different historical markers that I cover, and then Hashtag History will be with me on one episode for that.
Does South Dakota provide a lot of variety because of, the Native American culture, West River culture versus East River culture, and the Dakotas themselves, as a territory, and then becoming individual states?
Absolutely. There are so many different topics for the historical markers, and that's one of the things that I love, too. I actually, this entire time, so I started this podcast in April of 2020, so not that long ago.
Yeah, right in the middle of a pandemic.
Right. I needed a hobby, Dave. I needed something to do that I could do by myself, that I could do outside, that involved things that I like to do, kind of wandering around, going to parks, going to local places and enjoying our scenery and things like that. And then kind of something to kind of click around on the internet and look up. Mm-hmm. The research part of it's really fun. It's also why, like you mentioned, Robert Melling with the Sioux Empire pod, I mean, their level of research is insane.
It is.
That's why I like to say, I'm an amateur, putting that out there. I'm doing my best, but I'm not perfect. For a while, the libraries were closed. They're finally back open. So I'm going there, getting my books, looking into things to the best of my ability.
So when you find a marker, and give us one just as an example, and then I'll play off that.
Sure. Military Road.
Military Road.
Yes.
Okay. So when you find one, Military Road, and you read through it on the plaque, and, don't forget, people, when you stop by these sometimes, quite often there is a side two.
Yes.
And it's not
totally
a B-side of a record. It's
right.
A continuation of a story. It's
yes.
Worth reading. So you read the plaque. What do you do from there until you have your podcast?
Well, this is the part where I wish I was organized, and I could tell you a really cool story about all these organized things that I do. But more accurately, I post a picture to my Instagram story of the historical marker itself. And then I kind of have a list of a couple in my head that I kind of want to look into and start looking into. But specifically, I try to figure out if it connects to another historical marker, because that is something that I found. Bruce Blake was, he was in the Minnehaha County Historical Society, and he might have been like the president for a while. I'm not 100% sure on that. And in 1988, he started to get these historical markers in our area. He was the one that was researching them and editing the writing on them. I mean, he did that. And then he actually wrote a book about it. And so a lot of these are telling like a fluid story from beginning to now.
Right.
And so I like to find the ones that kind of connect. And so Military Road kind of connects to Yankton Trail Bridge, and Yankton Trail Bridge connects to the Amadon Affair. Mm-hmm. And the Amadon Affair, they all kind of touch each other in these little ways, or they're happening at the same time. Like Fort Dakota has to do with everything I just said. And again, that's another one that's just a couple blocks away from here. And if you're not looking for that, I don't think you're going to find it. And yet downtown, we have this beautiful sculpture walk. And if you ask me, the historical markers could be their own little sculpture walk. It's just a historical sculpture walk.
What's the most current one that we have in terms of a date?
That is a fabulous question that I have no answer to. I know that I've seen ones that have been dedicated fairly recently, but I don't know the answer. I do know one answer, though, or a different take on that is, that is a goal of mine. I would like to find something that we don't have a historical marker for and then get one.
There we go. Yeah, because, you know, like downtown, of course, you know, having actually worked part-time at KSOO years ago and then having been in radio for 25-plus years I always look at that one that, shows KSOO, first radio station, forth. And I see things like that. And, you know, that's just right into... You know, the facade of a building.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not one you think of because, like we mentioned earlier, so many of them are along a roadside.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, one of these days I'm going to stop. But if you're just taking a walk down Phillips Avenue, you're going to find some stuff.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of really cool ones downtown. Our downtown is full of history. And I love, love, love the fact that we're across from places like the Treasury and stuff that have taken these old buildings and given them new life. I'm so happy to see that right now.
What do you think history will show in our modern era? Are we going to continue to have historical markers? What types of things will make a historical marker?
Well, I honestly think Sioux Falls in the past couple of years has shown a lot of gusto for being on the front of things. Like, we had a women's march, we had a Black Lives Matter march. We are there, we're doing it, we're going to be a part of it. And so you do hope that in the future that is remembered with a historical marker.
Yeah, and of course, you know, so many great things that take place here.
Absolutely.
And we look forward to more great things taking place. What got you interested in history to begin with, though? What was the draw on that?
I don't even know. I remember as a kid, I loved going to museums, and I still do. I remember going to presidential museums and things like that. I was born in Maryland, outside of DC.
Okay.
So that kind of gave me a little bit of flavor, a little bit of zest for it.
Mm-hmm.
But from there, it just kind of was always in the back of my mind. It wasn't until the pandemic hit that I had the time mentally to focus on it.
So growing up and being around, you know, monuments and so forth.
Real not history. Just,
What was intriguing to you in that regard?
Oh, I love the presidents. I'm really fascinated with presidential history. I think it's so fascinating to think, because you get a certain job, your entire life before that becomes history.
True.
It's odd. It's really odd because these aren't perfect people.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't need them to be.
In fact, as we're speaking, my wife and I are planning a trip down to Nashville later in the year and, you know, go to the Hermitage for one thing. But also on the way, what we're thinking we're going to be doing is stopping in Independence, Missouri.
Oh, cool.
Truman Library.
Yes.
And that's one I've actually been to before as a kid.
Oh, neat.
But, you know, when I think of the D.C. area and so forth, and where you grew up then, boy, I tell you what, when I was about, 10 years old, we had a big East Coast trip, via car, and so forth, and it was just wonderful, you know, saw Monticello, got to see, George Washington's home, went to all the monuments, and even just, you know, going to some of the towns in Virginia.
Absolutely.
And so forth, and, you know, eating someplace that Ben Franklin would have eaten, and so forth. You know, just such richness there. And then we think of, you know, you get out to the West, and you start getting into the mining, you know, the gold rush.
Right.
And even in Western South Dakota with Deadwood, we think of
that
historically. But we really need to, no matter where we live, think of where we are as history.
Absolutely. And I think that's a thing, too, where you think maybe a ton of things didn't happen in South Dakota, but it did. There's a lot of history here, and even presidential history, like we were just talking about. When you're out in Deadwood, you can eat breakfast where Teddy Roosevelt ate breakfast. I think there's something about that that's just really cool. I mean, it doesn't mean anything really to sit in a chair that somebody said in 100 years ago. But to me, it does, and that's enough.
Well, in fact, I stayed at the Franklin Hotel one time out in Deadwood and actually stayed in the presidential suite.
See, there you go.
Yeah, me and Teddy, we got it together.
That's right, you're like this.
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've covered the local loo, and we had covered a little bit of the filming. And what do you like out of everything? What's really tripping your trigger right now, Lou, that you say, oh, gosh, I got to get on and do this next podcast on...
Well, definitely the Dakota War is the one that I'm the most excited about, but that's pretty much ready for me to start recording and editing and getting them out there. And so besides that, I'm really interested in, I'm a big fan of Mount Pleasant Cemetery in Sioux Falls. It's a really historic cemetery. I don't know if you know where the Last Stop CD shop on East 10th Street is. It's just a couple blocks to the south of that. And this cemetery is so fascinating. The caretaker, Randy Pudwell, was amazing and totally let me live out all my weird historical fantasies. He gave me hours of his time and walked me around, showing me where the lady from McKinnon Park's buried, and you know, just all these cool historical people from our town that our streets are named after. They're buried there, and so their stories all ended there. And I think that's really cool. And Mount Pleasant Cemetery has two historical markers. And I'm excited to cover those ones, mostly because it's one of my favorite spots to go to, which is odd. Maybe.
I think we all have different things that strike our fancy at times. So we'll let you go on that one. What are they? The two historical markers there.
One of them is about the soldiers from Fort Dakota that died. We had four soldiers that died in Fort Dakota. None of them died in any kind of armed conflict. They died from dysentery and a blizzard and drowning. I think I would like to know a lot about them. However, since they died young, they didn't have families. I don't feel like I'm going to get a ton out of the genealogy part of that one, but I still would like to know just a little bit more about like who they were. I'm hoping against hope that I'm able to find like a letter home or something to connect more to their story, so they're not just a name on a marker.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, I think it's okay to just be a name on a marker too, because most people don't even get that.
Yeah, very true. So when it comes to putting together the future podcasts of Local Lou, and you've decided that you're going in full gusto and so forth, is there a point where you go, this is turning out much differently than I anticipated it to?
Always. I always feel like I haven't done enough research. I always feel like I don't know enough about it. And then I record it, and then I edit it, and then I listen to it, and I'm like, oh, well, I don't know if anybody's going to get anything out of this, but I'll put it out there, see what happens. And I've really enjoyed getting feedback from people that live in South Dakota and people that don't. I don't know why they listen, but I love it.
Yeah, it's interesting that way. There's no doubt about that. But I always look at it this way. If it, you know, educated or informed or entertained even one person, it was worth it.
Absolutely. And my first one, I think one person listened. No. No, it took a while to get people to listen. And I guess I never really officially did much except for Instagram to get people to listen. But once they started listening, I thought that was kind of fascinating. And I really do enjoy that. And I've heard from people, they've sent me messages and talked about, one person specifically talked about how they read the historical markers now. It's like, cool. That's cool.
That's a great part of it. Was that possibly one of the goals of the show?
I don't even know.
Or was that just gravy?
I don't think
that
I had
along.
Goals. I think that I was looking for something that I could do during the pandemic. Yeah. And I found that and I enjoyed it. And then once I had dozens of listeners, I got drunk with power.
Yeah.
And and it just kind of became what it is. I think the only official goal I've had is this new goal that I decided earlier today that I would like to find something cool in Sioux Falls and get a historical marker for it.
I think that's great goal.
That's my only goal. That's it.
All right. So beyond the podcasting, what do you like to be entertained by?
Well, I think that my entertainment is movies and history.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of it.
And how great that you can put them into podcast time all together as well.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing about this movie's history is it gives me an excuse to watch movies. I think I'm into that.
Are you a Turner Classic Movie fan?
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I remember when they didn't have commercials. I remember the good old days. Yes.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. No doubt about that. Well, this has been fun. So if people want to hear any of the podcasts that you're involved in, how do they do so?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I myself am on Instagram at Local Lou Podcast. Aside from that, you can check out Local Lou Podcast on Spotify, Apple, all those places that you listen to podcasts. You can go to Anchor and it'll connect you to any of those.
Fantastic. Appreciate your time, Lou. Thanks for being on the Dave Holly Hour. And again, thanks for the gift.
Absolutely. I just, need to make sure my editor, is nice and liquored up.
That's always a good thing. All right. Thanks, Lou. And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
It's another Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversation on the Dave Holly Hour.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour, and we are going to have some fun right now. I tell you what, met this gentleman just a couple of months ago as I was helping out for Dual Purpose. You've heard Michael Sorensen on this program many times before, talking about everything he does. Well, a little thing at work allowed me to have a day to be a volunteer for something. And so I got to volunteer as a roadie for Dual Purpose and met this man, Tim Dietz. How are you, sir?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well. Glad to have you on the program because we kind of hit it off right away that day.
Yeah, we sure did.
And it had been the first time I met you and you were filling in, but now I understand you're going to be filling in for Dual Purpose quite a bit more.
Quite a bit more, yeah. And I'll be doing that. And I'm still doing my Just Do It dueling pianos. And then also I play keyboards with Dustin Evans, a country band from around the area for a long time. So I'm looking forward to keeping busy.
Yeah, and that's a good thing because, your full-time job, you've been out at the Denny Sanford.
Yeah, for about 5 years. I started working out there part-time, and then Bill Murray, he's a technical director, not director, but yeah, I guess I don't remember exactly what his title is, but anyway, he got me in out there, and then they decided that they were going to have me work out there full time, and I was like, I'm not sure about that, but then they've been great about letting me go out and do other stuff, and so it's been fantastic. I haven't had a real job in over 20 years, I guess. Like a real,
yeah,
real
but by
job.
Yeah, by the same token, though, when shows started to go down and so forth.
Oh, yeah. It's been a lifesaver. It really has, in more ways than one. As I keep getting older and my spine falls through my hind end, it's nice to not have to worry about that kind of thing anymore. So, the old joke goes, what's the difference between an extra large pizza and a musician? An extra large pizza can feed a family of four.
That one I had not heard. I'd heard some similar things, but
now you have.
Because like I said, we hit it off. Obviously, you'd like to have a good time. You joke around and so forth. But you're also besides that part of you, an incredibly talented man in terms of music.
God, thanks.
Yeah, well,
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Good. I hope so. But it's like, man, I got to have this guy on as soon as, you know, I heard you. Because, you know, I'm sitting there that day listening to the sound check between you and Michael and then Zach Dresch on drums and just hearing everything. And then all of a sudden, you know, it just got quiet and then you just started playing. And all I was thinking was, wow.
Yeah.
This is beautiful.
Yes, thank you.
So what came first for you? What I'm assuming that it's not just a piano that you play.
Right. Started taking guitar lessons with a lady that from Ottawa, Illinois, where I grew up. The kind of funny story with that is the lady that started teaching me guitar, she was actually my mom's guitar teacher.
No kidding.
Yeah, and she just recently passed away here last year. She was 102, I think, when she passed away. Her name was Evelyn Brew, and she was a legend in that area. Just the sweetest lady, and started with guitar, and then of course my uncle Richard, who was he was my idol when I was growing up, he also played guitar and he sang, and he was actually in a band. My mom was actually in a band and made records back in the day.
No kidding.
Still have them, 78s, you know. And,
oh, yeah.
She actually got offered to go out with Les Brown and his band of renown.
Renown, yeah.
Back in the late 40s, I believe it was, and or early, it might have been early 50s, but she didn't. You know, she had kids, and but yeah, she made records and stuff, and so I kind of was around it a lot. My mom was always singing.
Inspiration in that regard.
Yeah,
Everybody else in the family musical too?
Oh well, yeah. My sisters all played the crap out of the record players and stereos.
Right.
And my one sister, Alice, a little bit older than I am, she started taking piano lessons. And that was right about the time that I started getting interested in the piano, because I got an Elton John album, you know. And so I started hanging out, listening to her, practicing the piano and stuff. And so then I'd sit down and start dinking around with it, and she started getting torqued off because I would pick out her lessons. She's like, "What? You're not even reading that." I said, "Well, I can't help it. I don't know how to read that stuff yet."
Yet. Yeah. You know, it was interesting when you brought up the fact that it was an elderly guitar teacher. You don't think of that. You think of, you know, somebody of that age being more so the piano teacher.
Yeah.
But to have a guitar first, that was great then. And so were you able to read music on the guitar?
No, not very well. I still, even now, I still do the every good boy does fine.
It's fine, right?
Yeah. you know how people will take in they'll peck on a keyboard, you know, like one in it. It's about like that when I'm trying to read a musical notes. It's really frustrating, and I guess I just don't have the patience much for it. I got busted for it. I took piano lessons for about 3 months when I was in high school, and my folks rented a piano, but I ended up driving my stepdad absolutely bonkers. And so then they got rid of it, and then so I would go into the school before school, and then after school, before practice, or I had to go to work, and then would practice a lot there, and then I'd cut class every now and again, go practice and stuff too. But
you know, so when you don't read music, what is a practice like then?
I put on whatever I'm trying to pick out and listen.
So you listen
to
it and play along with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's always amazed me, because I was not much. I played baritone in a concert band.
Nice.
But then I played one of the most unique instruments there is in a band, in jazz band. I played the valve trombone.
Oh, wow.
Same fingerings as the baritone and so forth.
Yeah.
Just a jazzier, brassier sound and so
sure.
forth. And absolutely loved that.
Yeah.
I was not the greatest music reader either, but I at least, you know, read it enough to be able to repeat it and just keep getting until I found it. And then, you know, in jazz band, I could have a little fun too and you know, improvise some if I wanted. You know, it's always amazed me the people that don't or that admit that they're not. They can't read music, but they play beautiful music.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Yeah, and you know, it's great to know that you know, some people, it's just a gift.
Yeah,
that you just have it. Did you realize that, or did it take a while before you go, okay, maybe I can do this?
Well, I don't know. My mom used to talk about that kind of stuff quite a bit, and I guess I remember one time sitting there going, there might be something to this after all. I got asked to play. There was some teachers would come in. I'd go into the auditorium at the school quite a bit, and I'd practice on. They had a big Steinway in there, and I'd go practice on that. And there was also a Hammond in there, so every now and again I'd fire that honker up too, which is awesome. And but anyway, I'd go in there and I'd practice, and every now and again I'd see somebody leaving, you know, that had snuck in there while I wasn't paying attention. And it was quite a few of the teachers would do that on one of their breaks or whatever like that. One of the teachers, I think she was one of the typing teachers, she asked me if I'd go play for a fundraiser that her husband was doing. He was running for state's attorney, I think, in that area. His name was Dale Stockley. And Miss Stockley had come in there and she said, hey, you know, we're going to have a fundraiser. Would you play some music for us? And I was like, sure. And she was like, not real long, you know, just about a half an hour or so. And I'm like, okay. And so I went and did it. And then I was all nervous and everything, you know, it was. And then they gave me a check afterwards, and it was $100.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we're talking, this is 1979,
okay.
80. So you got to remember, my parents were, they worked at a factory in Streeter, Illinois. And my dad was blown away. He couldn't believe it. $100. He goes, well, maybe there's something to this music thing for you after all.
So that was your first paid gig, and you got $100.
Yeah, it was my first paying gig. Yeah, I thought I was, you know, hillbilly rich. For
yeah.
sake, you know, it's like, man, I'm gonna go buy a lot of tacos with these, you know.
So what came next after something like that, then, in terms of getting in bands and gigs and everything?
Well, there were some bands from back home. One of them was called Road Angel, and they were a pretty cool rock band from around that area, and they played all over the place in that area. And they'd actually gone up and played at some of the big venues up in Chicago and stuff, and they had talked to me a little bit about possibly joining. I was about 17, I think it was, 17, just about 18. And my dad was like, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to graduate high school. I was in a couple of different bands that never made it out of the garage. You know, there was one band that was awesome. It's called Bounty Hunter. And three guitars, bass, and drums, and a lot of Molly Hatchet and a lot of Skynyrd and stuff like that. And they just had me doing lead singing. They didn't even want me to play keyboards or anything. And I'm sitting there going, how do you do Skynyrd without keyboards?
Right.
But man, the guitar players in that band were great. Holy cow.
A wall of sound.
Yeah, it was just awesome to go in there. And they got all these Marshall stacks in there. And they're blah, blah, blah.
Now, were you naturally engaged with singing to begin with?
I've never been a good singer, but I have a lot of fun doing it. I don't know. I tried it a lot, you know. Yeah. You know, one of those perseverance kind of things, you know, just keep doing it. And but yeah, I don't know. I was always more comfortable playing than singing, mm-hmm. than just standing up there singing.
But, you know, yeah. in a dueling piano situation, which, you know, obviously we talked about the fact you've been filling in with dual purpose, but you've also had your own
yeah.
that you've been doing for how many years now, about 20?
No. Oh. Dueling pianos, I've been involved with that for about 8 years, I think.
8 years, okay.
Yeah, something yeah. like that.
But anyway, that sounds like the way you're talking about it. In terms of that style of show, where it's a good time and so forth, that really kind of plays right into your hands, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
You know, yeah, I like having the, fun with the singing part. Yeah. And
I like
know,
to goof off.
Yeah.
It's, and, you know, and my wife and I were talking about that one time with... you know, when I was first starting about thinking about getting going with dueling pianos, because the reason I even thought about it was, it was quite a few years ago. The guys from Minneapolis, Deuces Wilder, were coming through, and they were looking for somebody to help fill in when they had somebody that would get sick or something like that. And the guy, they were going to be at Borrowed Bucks, and ended up talking to their manager, not either one of the guys, but I talked to their manager, and he's like, yeah, well, maybe we should have you come out. And I went out there and talked to those guys and sat in a couple of songs, you know. I was out playing with Dustin. We were really busy at that point. And my wife at the time was like, you're already gone enough. Because mm-hmm. we were playing, I'd say probably 160 nights
wow.
a year at that point. So I was home for maybe 2 days a week, and then mm-hmm. I'd be gone the rest of the time. But we had a blast. We were doing fairs and festivals all over the dang country, you know. So it was pretty fun. You know, we had a sponsorship with Roper Western Wear and U.S. Smokeless Tobacco, Copenhagen Skoal, mm-hmm. one of our sponsors also. And they had us playing races and stuff like that. You know, we'd go and play under a big, you know, 180 by 90 tent and throw tailgate parties. And it was a crazy time. And then, like I said, we'd go do festivals and stuff too. And that was fun, you know. You're on a bill with, it was like the who's who of country music at that time, you know, because we were doing the big festivals that we were doing was like Country Thunder down in Arizona, there was a Country Thunder that we did up in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, that was really big also, and then. Country Stampede over in Manhattan, Kansas, and oh my gosh, what a blast! You know, you'd go there, and we'd get to play the main stage, and then we'd also go over and do the beer tents. And you know, some of the times when we were on the beer tents were crazy times. I mean, just crazy. Like we were the one time we were there with it was us and Lone Star in the beer tent, and. That was a fiasco. Holy crap. That was pretty fun. And then we did several beer tents with, it was us and Montgomery Gentry.
Okay.
And that was, oh my gosh, up in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, I think was probably one of the worst. It wasn't the worst, but I mean, as far as musical goes, but as far as... We had a blast.
Okay. Or at least something that starts with the same letter. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Is that the most memorable of being on the road?
No.
Then let's hear that story.
No.
What's that?
No. There's a code.
The gigs we do not talk about.
Yeah.
What about venues and so forth? What's been the, you said, you know, a lot of festivals and fairs and things like that. So that's primarily outdoor. Indoor venues and so forth?
Oh, man. We've had a lot of fun playing different gigs and stuff with Dustin like that all over the place too. Been on both coasts. with him, and lots of points in between. It'd be tough to pick out one, but there's several fun ones that we've done. You know, gosh, I can't. Off the top of my head, it'd be hard to pick.
Yeah. You know? What's the key to having a fun show?
Don't get too full of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I guess the way I've always looked at it is like other people are inviting you to their special event. You know what I mean?
Good point, yeah.
You know, you're part of their, whether it's their wedding or their special night out, or they're out celebrating something, or they buy a ticket to go to this festival because they're celebrating something, or they're just there because they love country music or music in general. You know, there was a point where I was sitting there going, man, you know, we Dustin had a record that was on the charts for a while, and it got killed by the 8th of November by Big and Rich.
Big and Rich, yeah.
But it came out the same week for ads, you know, mm-hmm. to the radio stations. But if you ever see that video, it's called If I Die Before You Wake, and it's just beautiful. But, you know, there was a time there, I don't know, a few years back, where I was just sitting there going, man, I've really... really haven't gotten to do a lot of things I was hoping to do. And I was talking with our guitar player, and he's like, are you nuts? I mean, think of some of the stuff that we've got to do over the years. And I'm going, God, yeah, you're right. You know, I don't know. There was something in particular that came up that made me think of that was when you were talking about different venues. We were at the Indy 500, and we were doing a tailgate party for Copenhagen Skoll, and fella that he used to come out with a big group of people, and they had all these giant RVs, you know, and they'd make a big like a big square with their RVs, and they had like a you know, cookouts and all that kind of stuff, and they'd come and hang out with us in the beer tent that they had there. You know, it was a pretty good sized tent also. It was like, again, about 180 by 90, and they had us over for dinner the one night, and in between, you know, we did like an earlier set and then a later set, and they had us over there, and the guy and his wife kind of pulled me off to the side, and he's like, you know that song that you guys did, Ships? And it's a beautiful song. It's called Ships. But he goes, you know that song, Ships? And I said, yeah. And he goes, that song inspired me so much. He goes, I quit my job and started my own business, and I'm making more money now than I ever have.
Wow.
And and I couldn't be happier. And his wife is over there right next to him and started crying. She's like, yeah, it's... She goes, life's so good right now, and I'm just sitting there going,
what a testament music
wow.
can do.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there going, Gary and I are just looking at each other, guitar player, and just like, wow, that's pretty dang cool.
Do you do any writing?
Used to do quite a bit, but I haven't written anything in a long time. Used to do a lot of commercials, believe it or not. But, and only written... the last few songs that I wrote were instrumental ones, and
mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I haven't. And Ned, the drummer that we had in the band for years, his name was Ned Ledoux, Chris Ledoux's kid. I don't mm-hmm. know if you're familiar with Chris Ledoux, but
life when is I was, a highway.
Yeah, when I was going I went through a divorce about 15 years ago, and Ned was always giving me crap about that, too. He's like, man, Timo, he goes, you don't get any songs out of this, you know. Got to hang up your writing pen. And I was like, well, shoot, I guess. Yeah. But, yeah, I still dabble a little bit, but I haven't taken the time mm-hmm. to write anything down. But, you know.
What's the future hold for you with music?
I hope to keep playing until my arms fall off.
Okay. So we'll keep supplying you with, you know, some tape bandages and some WD-40.
Yeah.
Do you have, I know, because I love talking with people about favorite type of music and so forth, because I was very thankful that my high school band director taught us to appreciate all types.
Oh, yeah.
And anytime anyone ever found out I'd been in radio, the number one question was always, what's your favorite music? You know, and they're expecting to say rock or country or something.
Yeah.
And I've never wavered from the answer all these years.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me as long as it's a good tune. But, you know, there's also, you know, certain songs that will speak to you at certain points in your life.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And so forth. But, you know, usually there's still a handful of songs that are up there in that list of, if I can only listen to one song, it is, and what's that answer for Tim Dietz?
Gosh. One song?
One song.
One song forever. Oh, my goodness. You know, that goes completely against my nature of thinking that. Anything that makes me feel really good. Sometimes it's anything that makes me feel real bad.
Well, the old saying, you know, that, you know, when you're happy, you listen to the music. When you're sad, you're listening to the lyrics.
Oh, yeah. 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 Sometimes both, actually, because, man, there's some really good songs out there that are, that, you know, sit there and you go, man, that's got a great beat to it. And you listen to the words and you go, oh, my God. You know, a perfect example would be like Whiskey River from Willie Nelson.
Exactly.
You know, you could listen to Whiskey River, take my mind. I really got to take care of me. And you're sitting there going, listening to the words going, oh, my God.
Who do you admire when it comes to country music or music in general? And then let's even kind of get into, you know, the specialty, the fact that you are such a prolific keyboardist.
Oh.
What do you like playing?
I'm not a prolific keyboardist at all.
Oh, in my mind, you are.
Well,
so listen to me.
I'm
okay?
Slightly demented, then. Thank you very much.
No, I'm not slightly. I'm fully.
No, when I see guys, you know, especially for, like, from this area, I couldn't, you know, when I first moved out here to South Dakota, it's kind of funny. I was out with this traveling band in the 80s, and we played all over the place in Midwest and Canada and stuff like that, probably a 14, 15 state area. And I had an agent get a hold of me. I was looking to get out of the band, and I had an agent get a hold of me from here in Sioux Falls. And he was like, well, there's a band that's looking for a keyboardist because their keyboardist is going to quit and join the military. And I was going, oh, man, I don't know if I want to play just in South Dakota at all, you know, because I was used to playing all over the place,
right,
at that point. And it turns out that three of the guys in that band were guys that I would end up playing with once I got moved out here, because, mm-hmm, I ended up marrying a girl from Mitchell. And the guys that I ended up playing with, Jimmy Weber, Ben D, and Chuck Macheski, and they're all really, really good musicians. And I'm sitting there going, wow, it's kind of funny, because that's basically the band that I was going to, or declined to get into. But when I moved out here, I couldn't believe the musicians that were living out here. It's like, oh, my gosh. And anytime, you know, I'd go see, like, Spoon Cat.
Right.
And I'd see Jeremy and John Hagen. I'd be like, why am I just want to take a chainsaw right to my to my keyboards and my arms. Just first my keyboards. And the left arm. And the right arm. It's like, why do you even have arms? When you see guys like that, and then, you know, you talk to them, and they write, and they do this. And I'm going, it must be nice. Those guys are crazy, but I have as much fun as I can. But the thing that I like more than anything, which plays into the dueling pianos thing, like you were talking about before, and I was mentioned that I was talking to my wife about it. It's like, I love to goof off, and I like to make people laugh too.
Yeah,
you know, and so it's kind of a good crossing point, like an axis right there. It's like, hey, I get to goof off, I get to play music, And I get to laugh with other people and make other people laugh too. So shoot, you can't hardly argue
that's
with that.
Right.
You know,
excellent. And we're so glad to do that too. Now, when you're not entertaining, what do you like to be entertained by?
Anything that makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Really, yeah.
More so, music, movies, books,
all of it,
all whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever.
Any outside hobbies other than music?
Like to hunt, like to fish,
okay.
Like to cook, like to eat.
It's always a good thing if you like to eat that you also like to cook, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm unfortunately a foodie, so it's led to what the doctors call a little bit of a weight problem, but, you know. Had to address that, too. Yes, I ended up...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes, we have the same thing known as diabetes, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. And who knew, being Hispanic, I'd have a 40% higher risk?
Really?
I didn't know that until
I didn't either.
It happened. Yeah, so then, of course, I chewed my doctor out. I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? Why weren't you paying attention? But I should have been paying attention, too. And then, of course, come to find out, you know, that on my dad's side of the family, just about everybody. Everybody had that.
Yeah, let's see. My grandmother, my dad, my sister. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got it.
Whoops and daisy. You know, what do you do?
All right. But obviously, you've got it under control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Because you look great and sound great. And it seems like you're always having fun. And that's the most, that's the best medicine, right? Laughter.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about that.
No doubt.
Well, it's been fun to laugh along with you, and look forward to seeing you on stage many more times.
Well, good. I hope so.
All right. Tim Dietz, thanks for spending time with us on the Dave Holly Hour. And we'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thank you again for listening, for downloading, for sharing, for liking the Facebook page, for liking us on Instagram and following and so forth. We certainly appreciate it. Don't forget, two spots you can always check out to find out what's going on, all right? We happen to have DaveHollyHour.com. You can go there, find out more about the show, a little bit more about me, some fun, interesting stuff on there, as well as some news and notes. That's a new feature that we started not too long back. Additionally, you can go to DaveHolly.com, and you'll find out some of the other things that I do as a variety entertainer and some of the other things I'm involved with, including another podcast called Midtown Coffee Radio Hour. We have another one of those coming up for you real soon. So stay tuned for more information on that. Meantime, me and the Mrs., Miss Carries, we will be out Saturday night, possibly at two events. One for sure, we will be at Boss's Comedy Club for the headlining Zach Dresch. That's right, the man that you're going to hear in just a moment when he does the close for the program. Zach's a great comedian, and he's headlining at Boss's. Also joining him, opening, will be Alicia Rain, who has been on the podcast before. In fact, Alicia was guest number 100. We're getting past that even further now. And then, if we get time, because it starts up later at 9 o'clock, our buddies at the Sky Lounge and Tea, where I do happen to be the ruggedly handsome trivia host, they'll be celebrating their third anniversary, but we're not going to be there for trivia. But we will go there for some great specials that they're going to have. And it has something to do with the number 3, okay? Keep that in mind if you want to save on your pocketbook while you're out having a little fun. And, of course, the OGFOTS. That's right. Our original friend of the show, Elizabeth Hunstead's going to be performing starting at 9 o'clock Saturday night at the Sky. Coming up next week, Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Executive Director Alex Gilbert Schrock, along with Phil Baker, going to be telling us about a great event that they have going on. And Debbie Jones. She's one of the instrumental people of Monstrous Little Theater. She's going to tell us about their virtual play going on. And then coming up in March, she's directing Sioux Empire Community Theater's The Odd Couple female version. So, plenty more great conversations on the way about the arts and entertainment community in the greater Sioux Empire. That's enough for me for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Holly. Remember, for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.